Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You can see my written work in McKean's Hockey and The Athletic and at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. And we are going to continue with our off-season reports. And today we move on to the Montreal Canadiens, team coming off a run to the Stanley Cup final. They ended up falling short against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but I don't think going into the playoffs that Montreal had any real right to expect that kind of run. So now what do we expect of the team heading into this season when there have been quite a few changes? So let's start on the top line. And the top line, we've got left winger Tyler Toffoli, who had an outstanding first season in Montreal, scored 28 goals, had 44 points in 52 games to lead the team. He has well established as a consistent play driving winger. And really what you get out of Toffoli is when the percentages are going his way, the puck goes in and he scores a bunch. Now, 28 goals in 52 games is far better than usual from Toffoli. But he also, he's had seasons where the shooting percentage dries up and the goal production is not there, even if, you know, his possession numbers remain solid. So I think, you know, Montreal has to be thrilled with what they got out of Toffoli in his first season. But I think they probably have to be a little bit wary that, you know, he has a history throughout his career of having kind of some ups and downs when it comes to shooting percentage. Now at center on the top line, we've got Nick Suzuki, who is emerging as Montreal's franchise player, quality playmaker. He had 41 points in 56 games last season and had strong defensive results. And now it's heresy to compare a player to a future Hall of Famer like Patrice Bergeron, but the Habs are hoping that that's the kind of player they have in Suzuki. He's a very smart player who can put up points. He's a playmaker and plays sound enough defensively that he can play against anyone at any time. You know, that this is call it the poor man's Patrice Bergeron, because we're not going to start touting Nick Suzuki as a Selkie multi-time Selkie winner. But if he gives Montreal that style of player, a guy who can play in all situations, put up offense at the same time, I think they'll be thrilled. And thus far, I think they're pretty happy with Suzuki's development. On the right side, we've got Cole Caufield, a 5'7" sniper who had 30 goals in 31 games in the University of Wisconsin last year. And he's obviously a huge part of Montreal's future. He played 30 games with Montreal, combining his regular season and playoffs, had 17 points, 8 goals, 9 assists. And so there's reason to be optimistic about Caufield, obviously, as you can just look to the draft where a guy who's 5'7" will typically get overlooked and ends up sliding further down the board than he should. And I think that's probably the case with Caufield, that when Montreal pulled the trigger to take him, from that moment on, they've sort of been feeling that they got good value out of it. And Caufield has sort of justified that every step of the way. And so now the key is that he's not really sneaking up on anyone next season. And, you know, now he should be more comfortable in the National Hockey League. And, you know, with a regular role on whether it's on the top line or the second line, he's going to play a prominent role in the Canadiens' attack, including power play time. But, you know, now the pressure is really going to be there on Cole Caufield. And from the Habs' perspective, they're going to need Caufield to have some success. So to the second line, where on the left side, we've got Mike Hoffman, a 6-time 20-goal scorer. And he had 17 goals in 52 games last season. Hoffman's all-around game is fairly limited at this point of his career, but man can shoot the puck. In the past 6 years, he has scored 65 power play goals. And so you can, at the very least, if you're not thrilled with what Mike Hoffman gives you during five-on-five play as a 200-foot player, you know he can shoot the puck. You know he can be a threat on the power play. And so you can find a role to make it work for him. At center on that second line, you got Christian Dvorak, who's sort of the fallback position after Jesperi Kotkaniemi signed his offer sheet with Carolina. Dvorak has established himself as a solid second line center. His ceiling is probably not super high, but he's also a candidate for some goal scoring regression. You know, last season he scored on 17.9% of his shots on his way to scoring 17 goals in 56 games. Unlikely that he would score on that high percentage again, but Montreal is going to be happy to give Dvorak a significant role and kind of see where it goes from there. But in the immediate, they probably are better off with Dvorak in that second line center role rather than Kotkaniemi. Now, long term, you know, maybe not. But if we're talking just this season, there probably is an advantage for Montreal having a bit more proven option there. Now, on the right side, we've got Brendan Gallagher, who is a force of nature for the Habs. He crashes the crease, puts up dominant puck possession numbers. And then last year, weirdly, he had the lowest ice time per game of his, not of his career, but since his rookie season. He only played just over 15 minutes per game. And so, you know, there's room, I guess, for Gallagher to play more than he did last season. You know, when you need somebody to kind of inspire the troops, he's one of those guys who really, you know, tries to drag the Habs into the fight. And, you know, Gallagher, you know, at his best, he can score a bunch of goals because he goes to the dirty areas to do it. He'll go to the front of the net like someone who's 6 inches taller than he actually is. And so if you look at that, this, you know, projected second line, you could very easily see Dvorak and Gallagher having strong play driving effectiveness, and that a guy like Hoffman, whose play driving necessarily isn't great, he could be the one who reaps the rewards as the guy who pulls the trigger on that line. So, you know, none of these lines are absolutely set in stone or guaranteed, but you could see how that combination might work a little bit. To the third line, on the left side, we've got Jonathan Drouin, who's coming back from, I guess it was a mental health leave, you'd say, last season. And he seems, you know, based on recent interviews, he seems to be in a pretty good place now. I guess he had anxiety and insomnia, and it was causing him some real problems. And he sought help, and, you know, good on him for doing it. And if it means that right now Jonathan Drouin is happier and healthier and ready to go this season, then that's fantastic for him. And really, if you look at his career, Drouin is a skilled player. Even by NHL player standards, he is very skilled. But in general, has had a hard time putting it all together to kind of live up to the potential there. And last season, he only scored 2 goals in 44 games before he shut it down. But I think if he comes back and he's healthy and kind of ready to go, he's a bit of a wild card for Montreal. If he's in a good place mentally and can take full advantage of his skills, you know, Drouin could really help this team. They need guys who can create offensively and you know, might be able to generate chances by being able to, you know, stick handle past defensemen or thread the needle with a pass. And Drouin can do those things. So he is, you know, there's I guess a wide range of outcomes that what you might get out of Jonathan Drouin. Now, at center on the third line, at the moment, I guess we have penciled in Jake Evans, who's been a sound checking center for Montreal, but usually on the fourth line. He had 13 points in 47 games last season. That hardly screams that you have to move that guy up the depth chart. But depending on who is ultimately available to play center, it's possible that Evans is the one who gets first crack at it. Now, on the right side, we've got Josh Anderson, the power horse, who had size and speed to the Habs lineup. He also went through a ridiculously bad slump late in the regular season and into the playoffs. There was a 28-game span where he had 3 goals and 0 assists. So, you know, the upside is that Anderson can be a difference maker because of his size and speed and willingness to drive to the net. But, you know, given inconsistencies and ups and downs in his career, that difference maker is probably with a small D. In terms of, you know, what kind of real impact Josh Anderson has on the team. So to the fourth line, we start with left winger Arturi Lehkonen, who is a reliable two-way winger. His offensive game is, you know, somewhat limited. You know, he might get you 30 points in a season, but he still delivers value because his defensive play is so sound. And he's the kind of guy that if he's here on the fourth line, but you need him to move up, he can. Because, you know, he is skilled enough to contribute in a top nine role. It's just, you know, if he was going to move up kind of into a regular scoring line, you would like to see a little bit more punch from him offensively on a regular basis. Now, at fourth line center, we've got Cedric Paquette, who's a feisty agitator, came up with Tampa Bay and has played most of his career there, but he also moved on to Ottawa and Carolina. He might have a chance to add, you know, some bite to Montreal's fourth line. You know, a guy who will stir things up and get under the skin of their opponents. But at the same time, Paquette has yet to score 20 points in an NHL season, so he's probably not a huge impact guy, even if he can be a bit of a disturber out there. Then on the right side, we've got Joel Armia, who is a powerful winger, can kill penalties, and is probably overqualified for a fourth-line role. And so, you know, while I might have him here on this, you know, preseason depth chart, all it would take is some kind of shuffle among the Habs forwards, and Armia ends up in the top nine and playing more significant minutes. And really, if you look at what was one of the, I guess, strengths of the Habs in their playoff run, was a really balanced lineup. And so this is, I guess, part of the reason that you should have some concern, I guess, with, say, Jake Evans and Cedric Paquette as the third and fourth centers, because if Montreal is going to try and duplicate that, you know, balanced lineup where you can roll four lines and even the fourth line gets significant minutes, it's tough to do that if you're kind of have question marks hanging over the third and fourth center. But certainly when you look at the quality of the wingers, like Lehkonen and Armia could very easily play in the top nine on many teams. And at the moment, it looks like they're headed for the fourth line in Montreal. So that's, you know, you can see a relative strength, obviously, on the wings. But down the middle of the ice does seem to be an issue for the Habs. And now, who else is in the mix here up front? Well, there's veteran Mathieu Perrault, who, you know, early in his career played some center, but I don't know that you could count on him to play center now. There's Ryan Poehling, who was a first-round pick and scored a hat-trick in his first NHL game, but he's kind of been toiling in the American Hockey League for the past few years. He had a decent year last year, and so he could be in contention for a spot down the middle of the ice. And then at some point, Paul Byron should come back from injury during this season, and he can get into the forward mix for Montreal. But I think overall, you know, the forward group has decent talent, but the, you know, the challenges are down the middle of the ice, where I think you can get by, I guess, with Suzuki and Dvorak as your top two centers. It's not great, but, you know, manageable. But if it ends up being Jake Evans and Cedric Paquette at 3 and 4, that does seem to be a bit of a concern. And so we'll see how the Habs address that, whether they move some bodies around to try somebody else at center. But that does look like a potential trouble spot heading into this season. Coming up next, we will get into defense and goaltending and see how things are looking for the Habs heading into this season. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors. They have coconut and cherry barcia and raspberry and mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. That is a great variety. My favorite, salted caramel. But you have this great variety of flavors. There should be something for everyone with that variety, and you cover them in 100% chocolate, so they taste great. Not only are they great tasting, they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein. They're low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. To the blue line for the Montreal Canadiens. And we'll start on the top pair. It looks like it could be Joel Edmondson on the left side. He's a physical presence who was plus 28 in a short season. His first year with Montreal. But even though he benefited from a high on-ice save percentage at .937, which is unsustainable, Edmondson's defensive impacts were solid enough, just, you know, maybe not quite as good as you might expect when you see a plus 28. And so I don't think you step in and expect Joel Edmondson to be a lockdown, shutdown defender in the top tier. But Can he be a solid guy who plays in your top four? Perhaps. And certainly Montreal will hope that that's the case. Given the personnel they have on their blue line, they kind of need Edmondson to give them 20 minutes a night. Then there's right defenseman Jeff Petrie, who had one of his best seasons last year. Certainly his most offensively dangerous season. He had 42 points in 55 games. And now with Shea Weber out for this season, Petrie looking at more time on the first power play unit, and really his opportunity to continue as one of Montreal's most effective offensive performers. There was probably through the first half of last season, Petrie was, kind of a under the radar Norris Trophy candidate, and then kind of went through a bit of a slump, and then he finished all right. But, there was kind of that gap partway through the season where things looked like they were going sideways a bit for him. But overall, Montreal has to be really happy with what they've been getting out of Jeff Petrie, and so much so that they're probably going to ask for a little bit more in this coming season. Now to the second pair, we've got Ben Chiarot, who was not as effective in his second season in Montreal compared to his first, but still sturdy defender. He'll hit, he'll block shots, has played more than 22 minutes per game since arriving in Montreal, and there are times that might seem to be too much, but if Montreal is going to kind of manage this defense around physical guys who get involved in the play, Ben Chiarot is one of those guys. Now on the right side, you've got David Savard, who's a veteran stay-at-home defender, and like Chiarot, he hits and blocks shots. And now Savard's puck skills have kind of gradually faded from his game. There was a time early in his career in Columbus when he was not a bad puck-moving defenseman, but that seems to be kind of well in his past. And now if you go through a top four on the Montreal defense that includes Joel Edmondson, Ben Chiarot, David Savard, you're a little light in terms of guys who can move the puck effectively. And so, this is somewhat by design. Montreal has a type they look for on the blue line, right? They like big and physical guys, and that's great. But at some point, those big physical guys need to be able to move the puck to your forward. So we'll see how that top four plays out for Montreal. And then to the third pair, we've got Brett Kulak, who's not a big bruiser like a lot of the others on the Montreal blue line, but Kulak's quietly efficient. For that reason, I think he's somewhat underrated, and at times even by his own team. And so Kulak, might be a nice number five defenseman who can play on your third pair. He also might be a guy who ends up getting bounced from the lineup because the Canadians, they're not big on quietly efficient defensemen. That's not their thing. To the right side of that third pair is Alexander Romanov, who 21-year-old who showed some promise as a rookie, but then was scratched for a lot of their playoff run. But this season, with Weber out, could present a good opportunity for Romanov to kind of seize it and demand that he play a bigger role on this blue line. And given the personnel here, there's an opportunity for Romanov to play well, move the puck, and kind of establish that he can be more than a third pair guy for Montreal. And now, who else could be in the mix? Well, I think the most obvious one is Chris Weidman, who had played with Ottawa and Edmonton, and then ended up going to the KHL and kind of resurrecting his career, I guess, in the KHL. He played well over there and signed as a free agent here with Montreal. And now Weidman is a little undersized, but he plays bigger than his size. Like he'll play a physical game. He will stick his nose in there and get dirty. He's a pretty decent puck mover, and given my concerns about the rest of the Montreal defense, there's an opportunity here for Chris Weidman as well. That if he can really move the puck, he might be a guy who gets in there and not only earns a spot in the lineup, he might even earn second unit power play time. Or if Jeff Petrie's injured, he might earn first unit power play time. I mean, there aren't a ton of great options coming from this Montreal defense for that kind of role. So Chris Weidman, may be able to carve out a little niche. And so you know, there are challenges here for Montreal with Shea Weber out. And, you know, there are limitations to Shea Weber's game at this stage of his career. But, you know, there was also a certain reliability in a guy who you roll out there for 20-plus minutes night after night. And, you know, you can expect him to be steady and reliable. And, you know, now that he's going to miss this season, that is going to, you know, make things a little bit more challenging for the Habs. To the goaltending now, and we've got Carey Price, star goaltender, has played like a star in the postseason. And, you know, the challenge is, you know, where is that during the regular season? And if you're Montreal, you might not make the postseason if you don't have quality goaltending. And that's, you know, an issue that gets lost, I suppose, when you know, Montreal kind of sneaks into the playoffs or comes in with a low seed and then Carey Price plays great. It gets kind of obscured that they wouldn't necessarily need to sneak into the playoffs if they were getting this quality goaltending during the regular season. But that hasn't really been the case. Like, three of the past four seasons, Price has been below average in terms of save percentage, and then you look at, like, basically his last five appearances in the playoffs have been really strong, and, you know, that obviously includes last year's run to the Stanley Cup final. And if you go through this Habs roster and you think, well, they might not have the horses to make it to the playoffs, you know, they've got a challenging division, and you know, given their question marks down the middle of the ice, maybe they can't get there. If Carey Price goes out and drops a .930 save percentage this year, they'll probably make the playoffs. You know, not to put too much pressure on you know, your highest paid player, but there is, you know, that factor that if Carey Price is kind of playing at his peak, you know, his team might be able to drag this team into the postseason. But as I said, kind of three of the past four seasons have been below average from Carey Price. Now the backup is Jake Allen, who is a solid veteran guy and capable of handling a decent workload, so that Montreal can keep Price healthy and effective. At least that's the plan. And so I think on the whole, you can see Montreal having what you might consider a sound defense. You know, you've got reliable veteran guys, and that should be okay. But the lack of guys who can handle the puck, pass the puck effectively, who can really get the puck out of the zone under control, that, you know, that could be a concern. Like, I can see on one hand here why Montreal likes Joel Edmondson and Ben Chiarot and David Savard. I mean, they have a certain type, right? But what you could really use in that type, you could use some guys who can pass the puck and distribute it and get it up to your forwards. I mean, you know, Jeff Petrie can't be the only guy who's responsible for the puck exiting the zone under control. And so those are some challenges that I think Montreal is going to face on the blue line. If that means kind of more action around the goal, then they're going to need those big defenders to kind of keep people away from Carey Price, as you hope for Price to have a big season. So coming up next, we will look at some special teams prospects and then kind of decide what expectations we should have for the Montreal Canadiens this season. We're back! Better than ever, all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. The new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. Football, basketball, boxing, baseball, hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. To the special teams of the Montreal Canadiens, and we start with the power play, this is not good. Over the past three seasons during 5-on-4 play, the Canadiens ranked 27th in shots per 60. It's 47.4. They're 29th in expected goals per 60, 5.27, and 24th in goals per 60, 5.55. Okay, well, that is obviously a glaring weakness. And it's up to Montreal to figure out how you can produce a better power play. Does Cole Caulfield play a big part in that? Probably. Does Mike Hoffman play a big part in that? Oh, probably. If you have different players pulling the trigger, maybe that can help change things. I think you can expect that Jeff Petrie will play the point on their power play, and Nick Suzuki will be out there as a playmaker. If you have Caulfield and Hoffman in shooting roles, there's a chance here, I guess, that it can be better. But there's also a chance here that it can be better because it's hard to be much worse than what Montreal has been rolling out for the past three seasons on the power play. Now, to the penalty kill, generally better, but there is still room for improvement. And so let's take a look at shot attempts against per 60 during 4-on-5 play. They ranked 20th in the past three seasons. That's 97 shot attempts against per 60 minutes. They're 26th in shots against per 60, 56.4. 24th in expected goals against per 60, 6.64. And then 19th in goals against per 60 at 6.92. So it's a little bit better than the power play, but not much. And so these are two glaring areas of concern that Montreal has to improve their special teams. By hook or by crook, they have to find a way to get better here because they're not dominant enough now. Their possession numbers have been solid. I mean, they were great under Claude Julien, and they're still fine after they fired him. But they don't dominate in terms of scoring at 5-on-5 in a way that they can afford to be well below average during power plays and penalty killing opportunities. That's just that's an uphill fight for most teams, and certainly is the case for Montreal. So what are the remaining needs on this team? I mean, other than guys who can help the power play and penalty killing, they are perilously thin down the middle of the ice. They could really use another quality center, whether it's somebody who's an overqualified number three center or a legit star. And I don't know that that's really in the cards for them. Those players aren't easy to find. Also, looks like Montreal is seriously lacking in puck-moving defensemen, and that it does seem like it could become a potential issue as well. And when you look at the roster, it doesn't look like they're sort of set to, make another move to improve those areas. But maybe at some point during the season, if the lack of a puck-moving defenseman is still an issue, that they're going to have to consider making moves to address it. But so who are the prospects who have the best shot to have an impact this year? Well, I think obviously Cole Caulfield, the right winger who has a chance to play on the top line, he would be the number one pick. He had 30 goals and 22 assists in 31 games for the University of Wisconsin last year. Got into a couple of games in the American Hockey League where he scored 3 goals and added an assist. And then in 10 games at the end of the regular season, had 4 goals and an assist for Montreal before being a solid contributor during their cup final run. Now, there was a lot of hype about Caulfield, and Montreal Canadiens fans are really excited about him, and he should have a very bright future. I would also put, just a little caution there on manage the expectations. Don't expect Cole Caulfield to come in and score 50 goals his rookie season. I mean, I suppose it's theoretically possible. Maybe he does, but that's a big ask. Okay. If Cole Caulfield manages to score 25 goals, it's probably going to be a successful season because it's not easy to just jump from college hockey and start scoring in the National Hockey League. And so that is kind of one angle of it to consider with Cole Caulfield. Now there's center Ryan Poehling. As I mentioned, he's been kind of toiling in the American Hockey League for the most part the past couple of seasons. Now he had a pretty good year last year. He had 25 points in 28 games for Laval. And if Montreal is, looking for someone to fill a third or fourth line center spot, maybe Ryan Poehling gets some consideration there. But at this stage, it also doesn't look like Poehling is going to, step into the NHL and become a huge impact guy. He seems to be a player who maybe he can fill a regular spot in the Montreal lineup, and maybe he'll get that opportunity this year. But I don't think he makes a huge difference for them one way or the other. Then there's goaltender Caden Primeau, who I think under Montreal's ideal circumstances, Caden Primeau does not need to play in the NHL this year. If they have Carey Price and Jake Allen healthy, they can let Primeau develop his game in the American Hockey League, where last year played 16 games in the AHL, had a .909 save percentage, played four games for Montreal. Now he only had an .849 save percentage, which is pretty rough, but we're talking super small samples here, so not too worried about that. But in kind of, if there comes a risk here with injuries to Price or Allen, maybe Caden Primeau ends up back in the goaltending mix for Montreal this year as well. And so I think Montreal's lineup doesn't look like a lineup that is going to have a bunch of, young guys forcing their way in. I mean, that all said, what do you think of the Montreal Canadiens coming into this season? I mean, to me, I think a lot has to go right for Montreal to return to the playoffs. They had kind of a Cinderella run to the Stanley Cup final. And for that reason, they shouldn't just be outright dismissed. I mean, no one was really putting expectations on them going into the playoffs last year. And in some part, because you didn't know that Carey Price was going to be at the top of his game for the playoffs. If Carey Price is at the top of his game for the regular season, maybe Montreal gets back into the playoff mix this year. But Montreal, looking at their roster, probably need Price to play like a star during the regular season. They could probably use 30-plus goals from Cole Caufield. And as I mentioned, that would be a pretty big ask. I think, they can be a competitive team, but I do think, given their division, it's not going to be easy for Montreal to get back to the playoffs this year. So that will do it for today. We will continue with the Minnesota Wild for our next off-season report. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as the season is winding down there. You can check out both podcasts on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. And betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.